You are now listening to the NYYST podcast.
Welcome back. This is episode 195 of the NYYST podcast. I am your host, Christian, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chris.
You.
And Stat Guy Ryan.
What up?
And we got Dan Federico, too, today.
What's going on, fellas? Glad to be on again. Glad to be back.
So this is unprecedented, by the way. We've never had a video guest on the NYYST podcast before.
Oh, let's go.
So okay. This is something you can add to your resume, and and we'll forever follow you.
There we go. I like that.
So here we are, recording Monday night. We're about, what time is it? 23 hours away from the storm that is the 2020 postseason. I really wish that I had a sick day tomorrow, because tomorrow is just going to be a sick day with four American League playoff games, with the main event being the Yankees and the who are we playing? The Indians. I forgot.
The Indians or something.
The Yankees and the Indians at 7 p.m. on ESPN. So when this drops, you'll probably be, what, about 12 hours away from game time. It's going to be Gerrit Cole against Shane Bieber. Premier pitching matchup. I mean, if you're going to kick off the postseason, that's the way you want to go. The Yankees, they did not enter the postseason on a hot streak after the 10-0 run. Where did the Yankees finish? I believe they finished 2-6.
Wasn't it 2-6 over their last 8, or 2-8 over their final 10? I don't know. It wasn't good.
So they finished. No, they lost the final game in Boston, 3 out of 4 in Toronto. So that's 1-4. And then they lost 2 out of 3. So yeah, they finished 2 out of 6, 2-6 in their last 8. This has been a very streaky team, 16-6, 5-15, 10-0, and then 2-6. So are we due for another hot streak here? Because this is the perfect opportunity, perfect timing to bust out another hot streak here.
Well, let's ask Dan this first, since he's, I'd say, the unbiased one, in a sense of he's not hosting this show right now geared towards Yankee fans. In your gut, who's winning this first series? I mean, if you just had to pick it at, you know.
Whoa. Why are we doing predictions to start the show?
Oh, you have a whole prediction thing lined up.
That's the end of the show. Everybody,
okay.
Have to send.
All right, so let me ask you this then, Dan. Do the Yankees have a chance here? Because if you go on Yankee Twitter, you would think that we were playing the greatest team of all time, and that the Yankees don't have anyone on their team that can do this.
I mean, of course, that's typical Twitter. It's always about the overreaction. This has been a weird year for all teams. I mean, we all thought the Yankees were going to be, you know, the best team in baseball going into the playoffs, number one seed, kind of been a cakewalk this season, especially when we looked at the schedule before the season started, the way the Yankees only played, all the teams only played within their region. So, you know, it looked like things were to line up, but it's really been a year of hot and cold. It's been really unpredictable. And that's kind of how I feel going into the playoffs. I really have no idea what Yankees team we're going to see. We could see, you know, game one, it could be 20-1 Yankees, and then they'll struggle to get more than 3 base hits the next day. So it's been like that this season. And the one word I'd say is unpredictable. I really, we got to have this conversation first before I kind of dive into my predictions, because I really don't know yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement with Dan. I have absolutely no idea what Yankee team is going to show up. And the funny thing is, we said once they get healthy, well, hasn't this team pretty much been healthy the last week? And they played pretty poorly.
Yeah, I mean, when they first all came back, though, that's when they went on the 10-game winning streak.
Yeah. That's not really true.
It is. Other than who? Judge? I mean, once Stanton came back, all I'm saying is, as they started to get healthy, you were like, yep, that was it. I mean, they won 10 straight games. They were fully clicking.
Yeah, but every time.
The bullpen finally looked good.
Every time Boone's thrown out what you would call the, quote, death lineup, the only one dying is the Yankees.
Yeah.
They have not been able to score runs consistently with that lineup.
Well, why? I mean, why? There's no excuse in my opinion. This lineup, top to bottom, is disgusting. I mean, there's not one hole in this lineup outside of maybe Gary Sanchez this season, but the power's been there for him. So everyone could rip him all they want. The guy had 10 home runs and how many RBIs in how many games? I mean, the power's been there. So up and down this lineup, and his name's Gary Sanchez, so a pitcher's not looking at him as an automatic out, regardless of his batting average at this point. He's still Gary Sanchez. He can still beat you at any second. Why is this lineup not producing top to bottom when it's all together?
Is this a poorly constructed team? Is that what it comes down to?
That's what everyone thinks on Twitter, I'll tell you that.
Because why have the Yankees not been able to win? Why didn't the Yankees win last year? We've been over this 100 times. Everybody's going to tell you they didn't have enough starting pitching to win the World Series in 2019, which is true, because they would have been sunk in Game 7. They had nowhere to go had they somehow eked out Game 6. But the reason why they were in as much trouble as they were is because they couldn't come through with the big hit in that entire series. So is that what we're facing again? Is that it reared its ugly head before we even got into the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, Dan, how many times that you can think of did Sanchez or Encarnacion get up in a big spot? If they came through just half the amount of times that they did, we wouldn't even be talking about a Game 7 probably against Houston.
Yeah, no, I know it's crazy at this point too. It's like obviously we've had different faces come in on this team, but this is now year 4 of, I mean, okay, you know, we could argue 2017. I thought they were a championship contender. I mean, they obviously made it far enough, but that was kind of the start of everything. But this is now year 4 of this window. My thing I'm thinking of now is, if they don't win this year, how much longer does this team have with this core before there really has to be some sort of shakeup? I don't know what that shakeup could be off the top of my head, but I mean, whether it's one day it will be pitching, the next day it will be not hitting with runners in scoring position, maybe a defensive lapse here or there. There always seems to be something coming up in these big spots where something ends up happening. And like I said, now this is now going to be the fourth playoffs where we have question marks when going into the season. Once again, we thought they were going to be, you know, the top team to deal with in the playoffs. So like I said before, I'm really, really interested, really curious to see how this goes.
Go ahead.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
I said you really shouldn't have question marks about this team heading into the postseason.
No, I agree.
I mean, if you look at this team on paper, what's their weakness? Right now, everybody, 1 through 26, they're all, right, they're going with 26 or they're going with 28 in the postseason. Did they say that?
I can't even keep up anymore.
Yeah, there's too many rules going on right now. I'm not sure.
So let's just say, for argument's sake, we'll say 1 through 26. I mean, what's the weakness there? What are you looking at as a glaring weakness on the Yankees heading into tonight's game? Well, we'll say tonight because we're dropping this Tuesday morning. Going into tonight's game, what's a glaring weakness? You're throwing Gerrit Cole in game one. You're having a healthy lineup where probably Clint fucking Frazier is going to bat ninth. Looking at Clint Frazier as your nine-hole hitter. Okay, he's probably at worst a six-hole hitter on any of these other teams, if we're being honest with each other, right? The bullpen, I mean, is that the weakness? Ryan's brought this up several times, and I can't agree more with him. Tommy Kahnle is the biggest loss this team has 100%. Faced this season.
100%. And I'll say this, too. Ever since the 10-game winning streak, ever since the start of that, up through these final games, I'm not saying every single game, but for the vast majority, what has been the one constant for the Yankees? What has been the thing that has clicked, at least, for the Yankees?
What's the one thing that's clicked? Like Boone's pen with putting a starting player on the bench.
What's the one thing that you can actually take away and say, you know what? At least this has been good. The pitching, no? I mean,
for the most part,
yes. And yeah. So for me, in the beginning, before the 10-game winning streak, when they went on, what, 8-game losing streak?
Yeah.
Brian, I will give you one. I'll Venmo you $100 right now if you crack him in the head with that.
That would hurt.
That would hurt more than the boxing.
That would hurt way more. during that 8-game losing streak, it was like one day the pitching sucked. The next day the pitching was good, but the hitting sucked. The next day the starting pitching and the hitting was great, but the bullpen sucked. At least during this later stretch, the pitching has been very good for the most part. You've had your you know, games here and there where it wasn't great. But heading into the postseason, everyone claims pitching wins everything, right? And everyone claims that Yankees can't win because they're home run hitting and they can't do it against the good pitching. Well, our pitching's at the top of what it's been because you got the best of Gerrit Cole over his last four starts. Really five, if you want to include the game where he gave up a bunch of unearned runs. And you have Masahiro Tanaka, who I don't care what he does in the regular season at this point. I mean, he's proven himself in the postseason.
Yeah, all right. So I think there's several ways that we can take this. And you want to start with what is the perceived weakness of this team. And if you have to, pick something. Obviously, I think we can start with the defense. Is this defense, defensively, is this going to cost this team a World Series right now? Because defensively, they're not very good. Did they finish with the most errors in?
Yes.
In Major League Baseball?
They were second. No, they were. I don't know if they finished first, but I forget. Fielding percentage or something was the worst in the league.
They were in that bottom rung for sure.
Yeah, I understand that nobody likes errors anymore. It's a kind of an antiquated stat, but for this argument, it's not. I mean, we have to look at how porous that the Yankees defense is. I mean, Gleyber Torres has not really moved into being a competent shortstop the way that we all hoped that he would be. I mean, are we looking at a situation where the Yankees might be up 4-3 tomorrow night in the ninth inning and we got to, you know, Boone's calling on Tyler Wade to play shortstop? I mean, are we at that point with Gleyber Torres that we don't trust him in a playoff game?
That's a Dan question.
That you see, Joel Sherman was already putting that out there. He was saying start Tyler Wade, bench Giancarlo, he said, for Tyler Wade and start, he had a bunch of weird. Oh, start Brett Gardner over Clint Frazier. I mean, Gleyber, man, I don't know. I'm not a fan of him at shortstop. I think we could all agree he was a pretty good second baseman. I thought he was good there. I understand the DJ dilemma. I know we could bounce him around. A lot of things worked out where the Yankees pretty much had to put Gleyber at shortstop because then who he's sitting, especially this year, Luke Voit, you know, top 10 MVP caliber player. We could all agree on that. Gio Urshela is not a fake like I thought he was. I did not think he would be able to replicate what he did from a year ago. He's been great. So we kind of have to – the Yankees have to plug him there. But he's a big question mark at shortstop. And it's one thing for this season, but that's a long-term issue that I think is a question that really we have to start thinking about sooner than later.
Well, let's be fair, too, to Brian Cashman. I mean, he didn't want to put him there. He's been reluctant to put him there from the get-go. He said he doesn't have the range to be a successful major league shortstop the same way he would at second base.
Yankees had 48 errors on the year. That was the most in the American League. 9 of them were Gleyber Torres. So
that's wow,
a pretty steep number. Also, yeah, the active roster for the postseason is 26, just to bring that back around.
Yeah, Cashman didn't want him to be a shortstop, but he let Didi Gregorius walk out the door. He did that. And this is... He didn't have to give Gio Urshela a chance to be the third baseman. He did. He didn't have to give Luke Voit a chance to be the first baseman. He did. He let Didi walk out the door because he said, I have Gleyber Torres here. Now, you could have kept Didi. You could have stuck Gleyber at second. And then you would have had LeMahieu as your first baseman or third baseman. That's the way that could have went. But he obviously at some point in this offseason, Brian Cashman felt comfortable enough making the decision to let Gleyber Torres be his everyday shortstop. So that's where the buck stops at his feet right there.
It's a shame Tyler Wade wasn't a better hitter. I mean, then you could take, who said that? Joel Sherman? Then you could take him seriously. Yeah. But you really can't. Anyone tweeting right now that you need to start Tyler Wade over Gleyber Torres or Gardner over Clint Frazier is trolling at this point, in my opinion.
No. We're going to get to it later on in the show. We're gonna progress through everything, but a troll, Gardy over Frazier is not a troll job. It's not.
Does this have to do with matchups?
It has a lot to do with matchups. It has to do a lot with a lot of different things, but we'll work through that right now. We'll work our ways there. Okay, so right now we're focused on the defense. We already know that in here, we'll bring it up right now because it comes into part of what we're talking about here. Clint Frazier has drastically improved his defensive play this year, okay? I don't think we have had to worry about a ball being hit to Clint Frazier at all this year. But Brett Gardner is a plus defender. Brett Gardner has, you know, been there, done that in the postseason, played these games in Cleveland before. He's going to be out in left field where that wall can be a little funky. That's where that comes in.
If that's the argument, then I'm not sold by any means.
And you're not sold, but what I believe, Guardy hit 390 down the stretch of the season here, and Frazier's been in a terrible slump. And you're facing a really tough right-handed pitcher in Shane Bieber tomorrow.
Okay.
The momentum is in Brett Gardner's corner to start tonight, Tuesday night, against the Indians. I mean, you can make an argument that Frazier's earned the right to slump and get this start regardless. But when you look at how good Gardner is defensively, and he's still better than Frazier, in my opinion, you really can't afford to have a Clint error show up Tuesday night.
Yeah, Dan, tell me if you agree with this here on my take after Christian's. For me, it's... You've knocked Clint Frazier up and down so many times. Back and forth. Is he your guy? Is he not your guy? Right now, he's done enough for me this year and turned it around where I'm heading into the postseason. He's my guy. He's my future. Either he is or he isn't. Brett Gardner is not anymore. Unfortunately, I love Brett Gardner. I'm not knocking Brett Gardner. And I think every point that you just made, Christian, is completely 100% valid. But for me... If Clint Frazier's your guy, this is when he's your guy, right? I'm someone who's like, okay, I know we have to win everything, right? But for me, you fucking throw these guys out there and they determine their own fate. For me right now, this is Clint Frazier's job. His future is with the New York Yankees. Then right now is the time where you prove that to us. And if you can't, then you know what? Game two, you bench him, or game three, you bench him for Gardner, then fine. But right now, I need to see what Clint Frazier is made of in the postseason.
See, I get your point for sure. I get both your points, obviously. But my thing, it just comes back to this is three-game series. You have to win you have to win two out of three. They're back-to-back-to-back. And are you going to risk that first game? The first game is the most critical. Are you going to risk that by playing a struggling Clint Frazier who may have a lapse in left field, or are you going to put in Brett Gardner who may not, get a big home run or get a big hit, but you know he's good to work the count. You know he's going to be out there reliable in left field. And what you said about is this being Clint Frazier's time or is it not, the Yankees have proved that they're not crazy about him as much as it sucks to say that. I mean, this year, yes, injuries forced it, and Clint's production made him stay in the lineup, and kudos to him. Wonderful season by him. I was happy to see him out there all the time. But if we look back, the Yankees have clearly not been enamored with Clint Frazier, the player. So I could get the argument to both sides. My gut tells me it's going to be Brett Gardner in left field tomorrow just because of the experience, the defense. I know in that string of tweets, Joel Sherman also brought up about the left field where the Indians play their home field is a little tough. So, you know, Brett Gardner has experience out there. He brought that up as well. So that's my gut. I definitely see both sides, but I feel like Brett's going to be in the lineup tomorrow.
And where do you guys bat him?
Ninth. Have to.
Round him out?
Boone may bat him third. We don't know.
Listen, I'm not arguing against Brett Gardner, the player, at this point.
No, of course.
I never would, especially in the postseason. I trust my veterans. I trust my guys with experience. All I'm saying is if there's ever going to be a time where – you send Clint Frazier out there, I just feel like it's now. It, regardless of the struggle going into it. I mean, so many guys have struggled all year.
What did Ryan say last week? These are grown men. I don't care about your
feelings. I don't care about Clint Frazier's feelings. I care about the organization's future.
No, well, we don't have to show him anything. The Yankees need to win 13 games and win a World Series.
No, I said Clint needs to show us something. Clint Frazier needs to go out there and show that he's the guy. I don't need to know if Brett Gardner's the guy anymore.
No, yeah, but you know what, bro? And here's where you're wrong. You don't need to know that he's the guy, but maybe he is still the better option right now.
And if that's the case, then get Frazier out of here while his value's at an all-time high. Because if he's not your guy over Brett Gardner at this point...
You're just going from one extreme
to the next. No, I'm not, because if he's not your...
He had to trade him, but if he struggled down the stretch. Has he been hot in the last 2 weeks?
Who else has struggled? Tell me who else has struggled. A lot of people, right? So you're telling me just because he struggled, you're going to take a guy who's at the tail end of his career, who's probably in his final season if they don't pick him up next year. I highly doubt Gardy goes anywhere else. And you're telling me just because he struggled, he's not your guy right now? I'm sorry. Then that's fine. I'm not arguing against the Gardner points. I think they make more sense, actually. But then get someone for Frazier at this point. If you don't have enough faith in him right now, after what he proved to you this year, regardless of his end of the season struggles, then ship him out.
You don't have to trade him.
Okay, so let's just rock him back and forth for the rest of his career.
So whatever, bro. Why are you concerned over that?
I'm saying to trade him because his value is at an all-time. For once, Clint Frazier is a valuable player for the New York Yankees right now.
Yeah, and he'll be a valuable player in 2021. Is he a valuable player for them right now?
Valuable player when? Until we play at a really difficult stadium, left field, where we don't trust him? I mean, come on. If we're still having this talk after what he proved this year, especially in the field, then there's an issue. And again, the points are completely valid.
Yeah, he allowed this to creep in by slumping. He did.
And then
you can't.
Then we could go up and down the order about everyone else who shouldn't be playing. Then,
well, Gary Sanchez isn't playing tonight. Boone already announced that Kyle Higashioka will be starting Game 1 of the postseason,
which is kind of crazy. But I get it. I get it. And Dan, I'm sure you've seen a bunch of people on Twitter ripping Gerrit Cole for needing a personal catcher. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he's never. He was not requesting a personal catcher. This is the Yankees doing this because they've just had success as a battery.
Yes, but I believe it was Martin Maldonado who was with him in Houston, who was like his personal catcher pretty much. I mean, like, again, it wasn't a statement where it was obvious I needed somebody, but I'm pretty sure down the stretch they were worked together. I think that was it. Don't quote me on it. But no, I mean, when you pay somebody $324 million, you don't think that you're going to need him to play with a specific player. You think he could throw to anybody, especially somebody of Gerrit Cole's caliber. But, I mean, the stats are pretty obvious that he is more comfortable with Higashioka. And, I mean, they're going against probably the AL Cy Young, at least in my mind.
Oh, definitely.
Tonight. So you need all hands on deck in terms of what's going to be the best for Cole to be his best. And based off the stats, which I'll go with, it is Kyle Higashioka.
Yeah, and if you think Kyle Higashioka is going to bring the best out of Gerrit Cole,
then you do.
And if you think that he's a better defensive catcher than Gary Sanchez, then that just further plays into the argument why Brett Gardner should be in the lineup over Clint Frazier, because he's a better defensive player than Gerrit Cole. And if runs are going to be at a premium, you want your ace to have the best possible defense out there, don't you?
Do you think Gleyber Torres will be treated like Andujar? From a couple years ago, what was that, 2 years ago or last year?
2 years, 2018.
Yeah, when he came out, after five innings?
Yeah. Every game? I don't know if they'll take him out after five innings, but I would not be shocked if we're in a one-run game tonight and Gerrit Cole and Gleyber Torres is replaced. I would not be shocked. I'm just wouldn't be.
Especially when you think about him this year. I mean, offensively, he's not been the player that we've seen over the last couple of years either. So his confidence seems a little shot. He's just not putting together the at-bats that fans are used to seeing. So, I mean, it's definitely a possibility. I don't know if I could justify that. I mean, I could, I guess, but I feel like you got to keep him out there just because of what you could do at the plate. So,
well, for me, are we still discussing the weaknesses of this team? Because for me, it's not as much the defense as it is not having a guy towards the middle end of this order that you're confident in a sense of he can put the ball. this sounds crazy, and I know how much DJ is valued at the top of this lineup. For me, I wouldn't mess with it now, but I would have messed with it down the stretch of the season of batting DJ like fifth or sixth. And I know that sounds crazy, but the Yankees' biggest struggle is when they're in the middle of this order and they have all or nothing guys and people.
I want to give myself a concussion. The fact that you even think that you should bat DJ LeMahieu sixth.
Okay, so just tell me something.
He's your best hitter.
Just tell me something. Well, it doesn't. When is he going to bat in the postseason?
You want to bat him first or second. Okay. You want to bat him no lower than third. Because you want to guarantee him that he's going to be up in the first inning, don't you?
Okay, so he gets on, right? So that's great. He gets on.
Who's up second? DJ LeMahieu's at bat.
Who's up second?
Aaron Judge.
What's Judge going to do? Maybe get a base hit, right?
Who knows what he's going to do?
Who's up after that?
Who are they going to go with? Maybe Hicks third?
Maybe Hicksy. Strikes out a lot. Maybe he walks, but probably not against Bieber. Probably doesn't have a good at bat. Right.
Yeah. Here we go.
And then who's up after that? Luke Voit.
Chris gets to his point.
No. Luke Voit might bring in a couple, but then after that, these guys, especially against a pitcher like Shane Bieber, are going to go down like flies. They're going to go down like flies, and that's the issue every fan has with this team.
Why don't we bat a mace then? We'll get that third inning rally going.
Maybe fifth. Why not fifth?
No, because you don't want him. You want to guarantee DJ LeMahieu is going to bat in the first inning of the game. You don't want to bat him fifth.
You're using him to set tables for guys who aren't bringing him in anymore.
I'm using him to hit home runs in the first inning as well.
Listen, it sounds crazy, but what I'm saying is the Yankees' problem is that they're setting these tables.
Pick one guy to get five at-bats in this lineup. Who do you want him to be? Everybody else is going to get four. One guy is going to get five.
100% DJ LeMahieu.
So that's not batting in fifth.
But that doesn't matter. Why have the Yankees been losing so much? What has been lacking? What has been lacking every time they lose lately? Their ability to score runs? I mean, so what? Let's let DJ get five hits tomorrow night and go 5 for 5, but no one else can bring him in. I mean, has that not been the issue?
Well, you're not going to bat him fifth.
I know that. All I'm saying is they need a guy.
You want to tell me you
they need a contact guy.
Tell me you want to drop him to third. I'll say, okay, I agree with that. But not fifth, dude. You got to have DJ LeMahieu up in the first inning.
Okay, can you hear me out? Can you hear me out for a second? Maybe not DJ himself. What I'm saying is we're talking structure of the team. Are they not structured right? They need a DJ LeMahieu-like hitter, a guy who constantly puts the ball in play, whether he gets a hit or not. In the middle of this lineup.
What's his name?
I don't know. But that's what I'm saying to you. That's something that this team is lacking. I think that's a huge hole in this team where every guy's dangerous top to bottom. I'm not saying they're not. But why is this lineup not clicking? That was the original question. Because there's no one like DJ in the middle of this lineup that is putting the ball in play.
You want to know whose job that should be?
Gary Sanchez's
job.
Or Gleyber Torres?
It should be Gleyber Torres' job.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, but he's not getting it done. So maybe maybe you put Gleyber up a little to bat in front of a guy who's going to protect him a little bit. I mean, we're saying these guys suck, but hey, no one's batting after them, so go for it. There's no protection.
I get your point. It's just that, like you said in the beginning, though, there's no way they even tinker with this line.
No, they're not going to touch it. And I'm not saying literally DJ and put it, but all I'm saying is that's a hole that they have.
Yeah, no, it makes sense for sure. I mean, you expect like maybe a Gio to be that type of player, maybe batting towards the bottom half. But I mean, you're right. DJ is that guy. That type of player is exactly what they need.
Gio Rochelle is another good example. He should be a guy batting about around seventh that is not going to – he shouldn't be out there slugging. He should be a guy, looking for holes in the infield and going gap to gap. That should be Gio Rochelle's job.
And down the stretch, he was on fire now. I mean, he was tearing the cover off the ball. So you got to just hope these guys don't press. I feel like the Yankees press so much offensively when the postseason comes around.
Yeah.
What did I hurt? Why? Because I hurt your brain a little.
Why? Because you guys, the first second, there's trouble. You go on Twitter and be like, "Oh, trade this guy."
Yeah, DFA. I don't do that.
DFA him in postseason designation.
I don't do that right? Shit. Not for me.
So, I mean, if you really want, you really want to continue to look at weaknesses of this team, I think offensively, hitting and runners in scoring position has been an issue for them. It has been. It's just going to, it's going to take one big hit. And that guy, the guy who's got to come through with that one big hit is Giancarlo Stanton. He has to. He's got to stop trying to pull everything. And Stusen, the other, to her credit, I believe it was Saturday, because I was driving and watched the game. She kind of took him to task. Be like, he hit into a double play in the first inning, I think it was, and says, you know, that pitch where it was, you try to pull it, all you can do is roll over and hit a ground ball double play. Exactly what he did. When, if you like, what did everybody laud him for in the first game of the year? It wasn't the home run that he hit. It was the fact that he took a pitch on the outside part of the plate and lined it into right field.
Yep. Yeah.
He's got to do more of that.
Not to go off topic, but why wasn't Stusen doing the game Sunday?
Jewish holiday.
Oh, gotcha. You're right. And that's why, and that's where these guys start to struggle.
You know, him and Hicks are the two biggest culprits with this. And the Yankees are guilty to, a lot of them are guilty of this, of being too pull happy. But Hicks and Stanton are the two biggest culprits, the guiltiest parties of all, trying to pull everything. It's almost a good thing. It's not a good thing, but it almost is a good thing that they're not playing in Yankee Stadium, because maybe Hicks will try not to pull everything. I sit there and I see it. I'm like, Hicks, bro, you could drive a fucking truck through the infield.
Yeah.
And you're trying to just pull everything, and he's popping up, he's pulling off everything. I know it's 314. I know it's inviting, but come on, bro. Like, this last weekend, the Yankees knew they weren't getting the fourth seed. They really didn't care if they got the fifth or the eighth. This should have been all about playoff preparation, and it should have been these guys trying to do different things at the plate. And Hicks, you know, laid down a bunt.
That's what Gardy did the other day. Gardy laid one down. Dan, in your opinion, with Hicks, right, the only real defense you can have for the guy right now is that his on-base percentage, especially compared to his average, is friggin' through the roof.
Yeah, is it 400? I don't know if it's 400.
It was close.
It's close enough where, yeah, he's, I mean, and that's why you, I mean, besides the fact that he's a switch hitter, that's why I feel like he is going to be in that three hole, which I feel like all of us are probably kind of scratching our head at. But, you know, they like to break it up. But, yeah, I mean, he is very pull happy. He loves that short porch, which, like you said, Christian, it is inviting as hell. But, I mean, it's to the detriment to his full game, where he could do a lot of damage if he gets on base. You know, he's got some speed, so but he tends to, you know, get pull happy. So I don't know.
Aaron Hicks, .225 batting average this year, .379.
That's
on base.
Unreal.
Yeah.
But for me, Dan, like for the Yankees, how long can they keep up with that? Where they're like, yeah, but you know, he gets on base a lot. Don't the Yankees need to see more from Hicks at this point? Doesn't he need to be a guy, too, that comes through with a couple big hits this postseason?
No, 100%. But then again, he has, what, five more years now? Four more years next year?
Yeah.
Like, they have him for a while. I mean, I know it's a team-friendly contract, but he's in it for the long haul regardless. And especially now that they do – I mean, with Frazier emerging, I was a big believer – and this is kind of going off topic, but just thinking off the top of my head here, I always thought that, you know, hopefully – Esteban Florial would show some promise at some point, especially if there was a minor league season. You could plug Hicks into left field, have him have Esteban as a full-time center fielder, get that defense, that speed in the lineup and on defense. But
the Yankees own a 2026 option on Aaron Hicks.
But, I mean, I don't know. They seem to love him as a player, obviously. He does some good things. Like we said, he gets on base. He gets a lot of walks. He works the count. I mean, those are valuable, especially a team here where there are a lot of strikeouts that accumulate with this lineup. But, yeah, I mean, he's somebody who, like you said, we need big hits out of him, or the Yankees need big hits out of him. He needs to step up big time, and now's the perfect time because they need these type of hitters sprinkled throughout their lineup.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, I don't see where he doesn't hit any lower than fifth in this lineup.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if you think about it, you can't bat Judge and Stanton back to back. You just can't do it. It's a rally waiting to die.
Yeah. But they've done it. I mean, they've done it, and it doesn't clearly hasn't worked.
I mean, I think you're locked in at LeMahieu and Judge as your 1-2. Now, where do you want to go with 3?
But doesn't Hicks? That piss you off a little that you just had to say that sentence? That
what?
Batting Judge and Stanton back-to-back is a rally waiting to die? Isn't there something wrong with that?
Yeah, that they strike out a lot. That is a big problem.
And I'm not a guy who's like...
I'm not denying.
No. I'm not a guy who's harps on too many strikeouts. I get it. What I'm saying to you is, doesn't that sentence just sound like it shouldn't exist? Imagine fucking being able to throw Judge and Stanton back-to-back in a lineup, and that's not going to work for us? That's a problem.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, if you want to, you know, throw a ball at Aaron Judge's ankles, that's a strike, right? So that's
getting
out of there.
Hey.
And then all you got to do is throw a slider in the other batter's box and you get Stan out of there. So,
you could get Sanchez on that too. Probably a couple other guys.
Yeah.
I mean, so you have to break them up. And Hicks is the only, I mean, so Bieber's right-handed. So Hicks is going to be the only lefty in the lineup. If you're debating whether or not you're going to start Guardy over Frazier, the only set lefty in the lineup is Hicks. You're going to, you know, so third is probably the best spot for him. I don't love him there. I might go Voit, Stanton, Hicks, 5. I mean, maybe that's the way I go. I like, personally, a couple weeks ago when somebody on Twitter asked, what's your optimal Yankee lineup? I had Hicks batting 9th because I think once you go around one time, you're going to have a guy with that on-base percentage getting in front of LeMahieu and Judge. I thought that was a perfect spot for him, but we know the Yankees will never bat him 9th. They like him a lot higher in that lineup. They like, especially if you're going to play Gardner, he's not going to bat 9th. I forgot my other point. So.
I like Hicks 5th because you don't have too many guys protecting him behind him, forcing the pitcher to throw him a strike. Because right now I don't have confidence in Hicks hitting. I do have confidence in him having good at-bats and taking balls out of the zone and working a walk. And if you throw him too high...
Are they shaved balls?
They are shaved balls, which we'll get to in a second. But you throw him too high in this lineup and you have guys protecting him like Voit and Judge and Stanton or whoever else, their pitchers are going to be forced to throw this guy strikes. And I don't know what he can do with strikes right now. I really don't.
All right, Ryan, you want to join the fun here?
Ryan can't even hear you right now. He's working on something very, very important.
All right, because I wanted to go around the room here. If Ryan's sitting this out, then that's fine.
Is it predictions, so we'll though? Because he said he would come in for predictions, possibly.
No, we're not doing predictions. So are we all in agreement that LeMahieu bats first?
Yes.
Absolutely. We'll
set up the lineup.
Yes.
Judges 2?
Yes.
Okay. Where are you going 3? Throw a name. Just throw it. Dan.
I got Hicks. I got Hicks 3.
They're probably going to go Hicks.
Yeah, I'm putting Voit there, so that's where we're going to differ. Stan is your cleanup hitter.
Oh, we're saying what we would put?
Yeah, well, you want
to. Oh, yeah, yeah. Voit for me, 100%.
I would do Voit at 3rd, too, yeah.
So we're all in agreement that Voit should be the 3-hole.
Should be, yes.
So who are you batting cleanup? I mean, I got to. I really don't know where else to put Stan other than
I got
to
go G. Yeah, no,
Stan stays 4th, I think.
Where are you going, Chris?
I got to go with G for 4th.
All right. So then that means Hicks is batting 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Glaber, are you in agreement with Glaber at 6?
No.
No, who are you going 6?
I want Gio 6.
You want Urshela 6?
Yeah.
Dan?
I would put Glaber 6th. Gio sounds enticing at 6, but my first gut was Glaber, so I'll stay with Glaber.
Yeah, so then Chris is probably gonna have Glaber at 7, and that's where I'll have Urshela.
Yeah.
GL7.
And then Gary 8.
Or Higgy.
And then you whoever. Oh, yeah. I mean, Higashioka.
The catcher for the day.
And then your left fielder is 9. I mean,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, unless regardless.
I mean, not really, because what if it's Higgy Frazier? Maybe Frazier, you want to. Maybe Frazier goes 8 then. Higgy 9?
I can see that. That makes sense. I keep thinking Gardner, honestly.
But, fucking Kyle Higashioka, bro. Like, goddamn. This is the guy we're seeing Gary Sanchez for. This guy sucks.
Listen, I would rather have Gio Urshela bat 9th to round out the lineup than Higashioka. I really would.
Oh my God! I just hate Kyle. I hate Kyle Higashioka.
I know you do. What it is so about him. It's because everyone thinks he's the greatest catcher in the American League because they hate Gary Sanchez so much. And that's really
the guy
what
it was
comes
in
down.
The minor league, so he was 30. There's a reason for that. It's not like the Yankees were just like they whiffed on this guy's talent. I mean, he fucking cost him the game the other night. He doesn't even know how to execute a rundown, for Christ's sake.
Dan, are you a Gary hater?
Gary Sanchez?
Yes.
I'm not a Gary hater. I'm on the fence in terms of, you know, people. I understand that the catcher position doesn't have many great players, and when Gary's hot, he's probably the best hitter, but how often is he hot? Which that comes down to
me. Are you talking this year or his full body of work?
I'm talking his full body of work. I'm to the point where it's like, how much longer can you trot Gary Sanchez out there?
Now, that's where I'm getting. We did a show a few weeks ago where I went through every single season that Gary's had, and he's been at the top of the list of every category for catchers every year, even when you think he's not having a great year.
Yeah.
He somehow does. Even when he's hurt and not playing as many games, he still has the numbers. So I think a lot of what you're saying is true, and I think a lot of it is a kind of a skewed vision we have on Gary Sanchez, because when he is slumping, he is the most frustrating player I've ever seen in my life.
That's when I think about him slumping, it's like he strikes out three straight pitches. He gives no effort at the plate at all. Like, that's what I think of. Like, there's not even a productive at-bat happening when he's slumping. And that's more so where I think about it. I do understand. Listen, again, catcher, you're not getting the best offensive players behind the plate. And when you look at the full body of work, yes, Gary Sanchez does rank high in slugging and home runs and driving in runs. I do understand that. I don't want to take away from that because I respect it. But at the same time, would you rather have somebody who's way less boom or bust and he'll hit you 260, 15 home runs and is a good catcher behind the plate? At least you have a little consistency. Like, that's where I'm starting to think of maybe that's what the Yankees would need in this lineup, instead of another slumping player on top of when Giancarlo's slumping, or, you know, somebody like that. So Hicks is not producing, you know, just examples.
It's not Kyle Higashioka though.
I'm not saying it's Kyle, but
listen, let me tell you something. If Gary Sanchez was hitting and having a phenomenal year, he'd be catching Garrett Cole tomorrow night.
100%.
Or tonight, 100%. If you want to say. I know everyone's listening to this on Tuesday. But he's out there, and Garrett Cole's ready for it. And he's going to perform. This is simply Gary did not make enough of an argument for himself. And now if Higgy's working for Cole, fuck it. We have nothing to lose throwing Higgy out there with Cole.
No, I mean, it is what it is at this point. I mean, I can't. I'll tell you what. If Garrett Cole throws eight innings of one run ball, the Yankees win 4-1, and Kyle Higashioka drives in one of those four runs, Gary Sanchez should just fucking rent a Hyundai Sonata and get the fuck out of Cleveland, okay? He should just drive until the wheels fall off that damn thing. Because he'll never be welcome back here.
Never. Never.
I used the Hyundai term because Brian Hoke had an amazing tweet that the Yankees paid the Blue Jays what you can get a used Hyundai Sonata for Gio Urshela. Right, I think it was about 20. It was about 25 grand or something like that. They paid the Blue Jays for Urshela. That was it.
Dan drives a Hyundai. That's why he's not laughing.
Do you drive a Hyundai?
Nah, not quite, but you're close enough. You know.
Hey, you know, get you where you need to go.
Thanks.
So break down the lineup. So back to, I think we need to touch on the bullpen here. Garrett Cole needs to go eight innings tomorrow. Or into the eighth. The only two guys that should take the mound after, really, the A-plus game, because remember Francisco used to talk about this, it was Pettit to Mo in a big game.
Yeah.
Nobody else touched the ball. It should really be Cole or Chapman tomorrow. Nobody else for the Yankees should touch the ball tomorrow.
No, I agree.
Yeah, 100%.
But if you got to bring in Britton, in. That's fine. You know, what are we going to get out of Chad Green? He either looks like the most dominant pitcher in the world, or he's, you know, Rick Vaughn at the beginning of Major League Two, where he's just serving up tater shots all over the place. Here's where the Yankees bullpen is struggling right now. You want to say that you can lock down the end of the game, you can get your starter to get you into the seventh, you can go Britton and Chapman and feel comfortable about that, even though Chapman is a fucking roller coaster every time that he's on the mound. I don't know any other way to say it. The guy is a walking advertisement for Xanax for a Yankee fan.
Yes.
I mean, even when he's got the most dominant stuff in the world, you sweat it out with him.
Let me ask you this. You know how typically in a typical season, the score could be 15 to nothing. If your starter still has it, you throw him out there if it's your big guy. If it's 15 to nothing in the ninth inning, you go to your closer. It doesn't matter. You just get the win. In a season where the postseason schedule is different and there's really no days off, you're playing a best of three series. If the score's like, let's just say the Yankees actually give us a postseason game tomorrow where we don't have to worry and they kill Bieber somehow and it's 10 nothing going into the seventh. Cole's at 85 pitches. Do they flirt with taking him out to not risk anything and go to that bullpen? And do they try and get around it where they're keeping their guys fresh? Or is it still played as a regular game, as a regular postseason game?
Whatever Cole's got in the tank, he's not going to pitch again in the series.
Yeah, that's true.
Why? What are you saving bullets for?
Not talking about saving bullets. I'm just talking about the risk of him getting hurt. The risk of anything in a game like that.
You can't manage like that.
No, it's got to just be straightforward, just like normal. Nothing changes. You do everything
Yankees
you can.
Yankees are up 10-0 in the seventh inning. I'll kiss the ground, say a prayer. And then if he's at 85 pitches and Boone thinks he's got 120 in him, let him throw 120. Why mess around? You can't. There's no game five. He can't come back and pitch game three.
What about bullpen wise? Do they keep the bullpen fresh if they're in a blowout game?
You know, this is something that worried me a little bit coming down the stretch here. Is they really didn't find a lot of spots for Chapman to pitch, and we know how when he's rusty.
Oh boy.
Yep.
What was the game that he came back last year? I think it was against the Mets. It was like one of his first games back after a while, and he just. I think he walked in the
Might
winning
have been
run.
The Red Sox.
I think it was the Mets for some reason. He just couldn't throw. Oh, no, he ended up closing it, but he walked the bases loaded, walked a run in, and then he finally got out of the inning, but he just couldn't find the strike zone.
I'm sure if we look through his time here, he's probably had about 15 of those games.
Yeah, but when he doesn't have consistent, you know.
There was a game against the Mets. I don't even remember how many years ago it was when the Yankees were up, probably five runs. He was in the game to get work.
That was it.
And they had to bring in, I think it was Chase and Shreve was the one that got him out
yes,
of it.
Yes, you are. You have such a good memory.
By the skin of their teeth. The only reason why I remember that is because we were having it was on my wife's birthday, and we were having a barbecue for her birthday, and I was trying to finish watching the game while everybody was coming over. And I thought I was going to be able to get outside, but, you know, there's Chapman pulling his bullshit.
Yeah.
Look, if we're going to talk about bullpens and we're going to talk about the weaknesses of this team going into the postseason, the weakness is the middle relief, in my opinion. It's that bridge to get to Britton, to get to Chapman, and you're going to have to see a guy step up that you're not used to seeing step up. And
wait, who's on the phone now?
This is that guy right here calling in. But, you know,
I was going to work my way to what you're actually saying right now.
Well, I don't think that surprise star is going to come for the Yankees offensively in the postseason. I think the surprise is going to come from the bullpen. It's going to be a guy who's going to have to step up and take on more of that Phil Hughes 09 postseason role, who's kind of, you know, the bridge and is used in a bunch of different ways. And for me, that guy is actually Jordan Montgomery, because he's a guy that isn't going to, I would rather use Montgomery out of the bullpen because he is the best complement to the rest of the starting pitchers, whereas a Davey Garcia isn't that much of a complement to a Garrett Cole or a Masahiro Tanaka. So for me, Montgomery's going to be that secret weapon for this team in the middle innings if they need that bridge to come in and supplement a Garrett Cole who throws 98 to 100 from the right side. You bring in Montgomery, who's more of a breaker. He still throws pretty hard, but he's coming from the left side. He's that difference maker, that deviation from the usual that I think could be a major piece for this bullpen in the postseason.
You know what I like about that is that because Montgomery ranks very high in opposing exit velocity, he has one of the lowest exit velocities in the league.
Like that.
But it also, he's also a guy that gets dinked and dunked a lot, and then he's got to come in. He doesn't have the stuff to blow somebody away.
Yeah, and for me, I've said this a couple weeks ago, I'm using that guy as Chad Green, where I don't care what inning it is. You are the extinguisher. You're just like the Indians used Miller a couple years ago. But I don't care if it's the second inning and it's bases loaded and Hap's on the mound or whoever, you're bringing in Chad Green.
Chad Green is absolutely that guy, but the way that this schedule is formatted for the postseason, they're playing every single day up until that World Series. I think there's days off in between series, but when you don't have Chad Green available for that third straight day, you're going to need a Loaiza, a Montgomery, somebody that you aren't sold on is going to have to step up and be that guy. And I don't know who it could even be. Luis Sessa. It's one of those tier guys that doesn't have a role for this postseason that needs to establish themselves in some way. Bridge.
Adam Ottavino decided he was going to be a giant waste of a roster spot this year. Dan, what have you seen out of him? Like, why? What is it? What's Adam Ottavino's problem?
Honestly, it just seems like his confidence is shot, to me anyway. All his pitches are flat. His breaking pitches are flat. They just sit over the plate, slider, you know, just what's the saying, the cement mixer. Like, it's just sitting over there dead red for the hitters. He seems to have lost confidence. I mean, he was a great pickup last year. We saw what he did in Colorado, which is the reason why the Yankees signed him. But just it's something different about this season where he just looks off. And it's not his numbers have been better over the last – I don't know, it's been like six or so appearances, but as a whole body of work, I have no confidence in him. And I'm going to piggyback off Stack Guy Rye a little bit. I didn't think of Jordan Montgomery, but I think Jonathan Loaiza is going to be that guy who's going to come in and step up and be that pitcher where he's going to be able to come in and get outs. I mean, we see what he's done as a starter. He's has that perch to throw hard. He's got a couple of secondary pitches that work in his favor too. I think he's going to be somebody who's going to step up. He was somebody before the season started, before, you know, the season changed to what it changed into now, that I thought he was going to be a pitcher who could take that Dellin Betances, Chad Green type step where, okay, you're a starter, you show some promise, but we think we could unleash you as a bullpen arm. And he's shown some glimpses this year. It's been up and down, but he's going to be a guy that I'm looking to who could be that person who does step up.
Look, the thing with Ottavino is you can't trust him. How can Boone really realistically put him on the mound when he needs a big out?
Since he allowed six runs against Toronto, he's only allowed one earned run in his past five innings pitched. So, Dan said, he did start to find it.
Yeah, and to their points right now with the confidence, Boone has been putting him in close games. Maybe more recently, currently moving, so things have been a little crazy here. But after that six-run game against Toronto, the next game I think was they had a six-run lead or seven-run lead at that point, where it wouldn't be a typical Ottavino appearance. So, I mean, Boone's looking for him to gain his confidence back without risking the team losing.
So, I mean, you can say that the Yankees have three guys in that bullpen that they trust. Green, Chapman, and Britton, right? That should be enough to get. I mean, it should be enough. But, you know, Tanaka's probably not going to go past the sixth. The Yankees, for whatever reason, they have such a short leash on this guy in the postseason. Like, he'll throw 66 pitches Wednesday, give him one run over five innings, and they'll take him out of the game. For what? What reason? You know?
I think
seems to be what their MO is for him. It's like they never let him go deep into a game for some reason.
This is just a little offhand, not to jump ahead too far, but like Tanaka to me, has to be the X factor. You got to get something out of him in game two where he does go at least six innings, because like we're talking about now, the bullpen shaky. We know Cole, at the very, you expect him to do that. We're expecting him to have a Gerrit Cole-like performance tomorrow, tonight, whatever, however we're saying it. Then game three, that's going to be a game where you got to be ready for anything. Everybody's got to be ready, all hands on deck, if it gets there. But Tanaka, again, not to jump ahead, but Tanaka's got to be that X factor where he's got to provide a valuable outing for the Yankees.
Look, and we're talking about guys that are going to step up, man. I call me crazy. I like Michael King, man. If you notice when Michael King gets knocked around a little bit, it's, you know, maybe second time through the lineup, you know, maybe a second or third inning of work for one inning or once through a lineup. You know, I'm not saying bring him in with guys on base, but if you need to, you know, maybe get, you know, let's say Hap gives you four in game three and you might be a little light and you got to get to the sixth, why not Michael King? He's got decent enough stuff, man. And like I said, if he's going to get knocked around, it's usually after he's been, you know, a second or third inning or a second time through the lineup. For an inning, it might be worth taking a shot at.
Well, you know what? To that point, obviously the Yankees, if they want a chance, have to really, you want them, obviously, to win the first two games and just be done with it. But even if they split, I don't think that's enough for them. I think if they're going to split the first two games, you also have to get length out of your starting pitching, because they're going to have to get really fucking creative for game three if they want to have a chance.
Do they have to get creative? I mean, they're going
You can't go into game three with a depleted bullpen and Jay Happ on the mound.
No, they can go in there with Davey Garcia on the mound.
Or Davey Garcia. All I'm saying is you got to assume you're going to have to get creative in game three at that point. So you need some distance.
See, the thing with Cole or Tanaka, I mean, Tanaka might have a real short leash depending on what happens in game one. If the Yankees, you know, lose game one, then you got to go. Tanaka can't have a long leash. But if, you know, we're looking at a game three here, you know, you're not going to give Garcia or Happ a long leash. So you're probably going to go with Ryan said. If you got to go in the middle of an inning, you're going to go to Green, and if you're still early in the game, whichever one doesn't start is probably going to be the one that picks up the bulk of the game.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting. Just to throw out, I got to throw out Masahiro Tanaka's postseason numbers. 46 innings pitched, 9 earned runs. That's good for a 1.76 ERA. And as far as giving them that length, he hasn't thrown less than 5 innings in a postseason start. So you're looking at least 5 innings of 3 runs or less out of Masahiro Tanaka for game two.
Where'd I mean, to me, there isn't anybody else I would put anyway, but Tanaka, to me, based off his past and how it's set up, he's the perfect game two pitcher. I mean, you trust Cole's going to do, like I said before, he's going to do Cole things, but the success that Tanaka's had in the playoffs, it's one of those things. I know all Yankees fans talk about it. People don't really worry about his regular seasons and his numbers that he puts up, because you know when the lights shine brightest, he's going to perform. So I have high hopes for game two, even just as much as game one. I'm mostly curious if it comes to the game three, A, who's starting, and then, you know, that pitching, like what's the carousel going to be like? How's it going to go? If it's Happ, are you going to go like 2 innings and then one way through the lineup and then that's it, you go with bullpen? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm.
And just to add, with Tanaka being the perfect number two, if Gerrit Cole comes out and he doesn't, you know, and they lose game one, is Masahiro Tanaka not the perfect pitcher you'd want to give the ball to in that type of situation too? So Masahiro Tanaka really is the perfect postseason number two pitcher to have.
Yeah.
Dan, we brought this up on the show before. It's almost like Tanaka gets bored in the regular season. Like, it's not enough hype for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like he's always just working on different things, you know, trying new movements on his pitches, or like, you know, I don't know. He just always seems like he's just trying to define himself for the postseason. So,
and then, you know, you'll get that game where, you know, remember when he matched up against you, Darvish? No, was it Otani or Darvish?
It was Darvish.
Might have been both
Darvish, because Otani pitched.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he had one of his best, you know, starts as a Yankee against, you know, up against Darvish, or, you know. So he gets up for certain games in the regular season. It's just like the mundaneness of 162 just kind of bores him.
Well, you know what, too, with Tanaka? I know his last start wasn't that great, but he looked much better this season than I've seen him in regular seasons of recent years. He actually changed up a lot of his approach towards hitters, and I think he looked really good this year. What was the most earned runs? Five?
Five, yeah.
And that was his fourth?
His ERA jumped up .25 in his last start against
Toronto. But other than that, he hadn't given up more than 3 earned runs in any game. No. I mean, he looked really good this year. So you expect him to take playoff Tanaka maybe to another level now.
Let's hope.
So, Dan, what did you think of Matt Blake's first season?
I don't want to judge because he went from – he made a big jump career-wise. I forget exact title he was with the Indians, but with, like, pitching coordinator.
I think he was sweeping the bullpen.
He was bat boy or bullpen backup catcher.
He had some small role, and then now he's pitching coach. I mean, that's why when I think about it, my first word is disappointed because you hear, you know, the Yankees always love pushing the analytical stuff, and all their hires are the best hires in the world. Of course, who wouldn't say that? But, I would say disappointed, but again, I remember I was talking with my father. He was asking what exactly he did with Indians because we knew he came from there. And I was just doing some research and I was like, oh, wait, he didn't really do much at all with their big league team. He was, like we said, bullpen sweeper, pitching coordinator, whatever it is. But I don't know. I was disappointed. But then again, it was a big jump for him. So hopefully this year it was a shortened year, abbreviated. He kind of got his feet wet and things and next year he'd come out, you know.
I mean, you know, what you have to ask next is, would Grandpa Larry have done a better job with this pitching staff?
I mean, look at San Diego. I mean, he's having a great time out there right now, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people gave Larry a lot of shit.
I do think that it was good to change things up. I mean, Larry was here for a long time.
Yeah, it was probably time to make the move. I'm in agreement. We've said it was probably time to make the move, but I think Larry was a scapegoat for a lot of the fans' frustrations with the way that the pitching staff handled itself.
But do you think that was even Larry more than the analytical guys? Like, you know, we've seen how they pretty much transformed Sonny Gray to throw pitches that he wasn't comfortable throwing. Was that a Larry Rothschild decision? Or is that an organization?
I don't want to talk about Sonny Gray.
We're not allowed.
My daughter's sleeping. I don't want to talk about Sonny Gray.
Just in general, I don't know. That's the thing with the Yankees specifically. You even think about Boone. It's like, are they just the puppets and there's people pulling the strings behind the scenes? Or is, like, who? I don't know.
Dan, I respect your opinion. I really do. So I want to ask you this. Was Larry Rothschild a shitty pitching coach only at Yankee Stadium and a good one on the road? Is that because – look at Sonny Gray's splits. Did he take the games off when Sonny pitched in the Bronx?
Maybe. I don't know. But I know the splits are great. I mean, it's hard to say. All right, now we're going to really go off the rails. That whole Sonny Gray era was just a wild one. But I mean, I'm happy he's doing his thing in Cincinnati though.
Not surprised at all.
No, I wasn't at all. Not at all.
Here's the thing.
Especially this year with nobody in the stands. There's nobody to boo his ass, so of course he's pitching.
Here's the thing with the Yankee pitching staff, right, in total. Fifth in the league in strikeouts. Third in the league in least amount of walks. I believe sixth. What was it? Hold on, give me a second here. Fourth in hits allowed. Sixth in earned runs allowed, and they're all above league average. I mean, you got to say Matt Blake actually did a pretty decent job. Maybe during that stretch of 8 games, it was looking like we hit rock bottom in all aspects of the team. But the pitching turned a corner, and like I said, over the last 10-15 games of the season, they've looked really good.
So if you want to go back and – I'm sorry, go ahead, Dan.
No, you're good.
So if you really want to go back and look at the Sonny Gray trade, I think it was a failure for both teams because Jorge Mateo made his major league debut this year for the Padres where he batted .154, okay?
Solid.
Dustin Fowler, let's look at what he's done. And I really felt so bad for this kid.
That was awesome.
I blew up – when he blew up his knee. He hasn't been in the major league since 2018. Okay. Jesus. And then who? And then
James Kaprielian.
Kaprielian, yeah.
Who made his major league debut this year in two starts, has a 7.36 ERA.
Bust.
I mean, so maybe the book's not written on him yet, but, you know, that's not a, that was not a good trade for either team. If you're looking at, you know, hindsight now.
No, and if Gray...
Where were we, 3 years later now? It was 2017 when the Yankees traded for something.
And if Gray got the guy that they were expecting, the guy who's pitching now in Cincinnati and the guy who pitched in Oakland before they got him, it would have been night and day of what we're talking about right now. It would have been a steal. And that's why Cashman took that risk and that gamble.
Yeah, and look at another risk and a gamble he took. James Paxton, who, if the Yankees make it to the 2021 World Series, he might be able to pitch for him.
I don't know. Did you see today that they were saying he may be available for the end of the postseason if they make it that far?
Yeah, I know.
Was he going to pitch?
Yeah, no, I was just making a joke. I don't expect. I expect absolutely nothing out of him. And
I was shocked when I saw it. I was like, "What the hell?"
Yeah, Meredith Marakovich brought that up in on Sunday. They showed him pitching off flat ground. I was like, "Well, if the Yankees make a deep run here, okay, so now we're a deep run. What are we, late in the ALCS World Series? Now you're going to dust off James Paxton? I don't. You can't trust him at that point."
No,
When's the last time this guy's pitched? July?
Yeah.
Are you going to break him out in the World Series?
It's just too risky. But do you take, depending on what Hap does, right? Well, no. I mean, if Hap's pitching, the only way they're making it deep enough, if he's pitching game three, is if they win and he pitches well. So, I mean, but my point is down the stretch, if you have a healthy Paxton finally, and it's a big game with, Hap, you need to throw Hap out there. Do you trust Paxton more than Hap?
James Paxton actually pitched on August 20th was his last start, which I did not think he may even made it anywhere close to that.
Me neither.
Season.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, you want, again, that's another trade you want to look at. Who won, who lost.
Sheffield this year, 4-3 with a 3.58 ERA and 10 games started. He had a nice little year over there.
That's pretty solid. The Yankees could use that.
Yeah.
Definitely use that type of guy to back in the rotation.
For sure.
More than anything, 55 innings pitched.
Mm-hmm. He looks good. I don't think they were ever going to hang on to him. So, it's kind of like the Sonny Gray thing where I'm not mad that trade really happened. Because Paxton... when he's healthy and on, I mean, we've all seen how good he could really be.
Look at the stretch he had last year, Dan, at the end of the year. I mean, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball during that stretch.
He was the game one starter, ALDS game one last year.
Yeah,
and I was in the stadium, and I wanted to choke him because he didn't even get out of the fifth inning. we brought this up on a show a couple weeks ago, and I was wondering if you're in agreement with this. Cashman's got to stop playing these risk-reward deals. If you're going to make a trade for a guy, maybe it's time to start paying a little extra and get a guy that is going to, if you're for a starting pitcher that is going to make 30 starts, or, a guy, you're trading for a position guy who knows is going to be on the field at least 145 games a year. He keeps trying to, hover around, Kmart when maybe you should be shopping at, Macy's or, I don't know what a high-end store is, I get my jeans from Old Navy, so maybe I'm the wrong person to make that comparison, but you understand what I'm trying to say here.
That's true. I mean, it's weird because you see his philosophy is the same, obviously, throughout. I mean, but when it comes to the offense, when he's making these Luke Voit, Gio Urshela deals, even Aaron Hicks, I mean, for the most part, you win that deal and you make that trade 10 times out of 10 anyway. So it seems to work when he does that almost bargain hunting on offense, but it's the pitching where he tries and just, I don't know, he doesn't want to pony up these players that end up, I don't want to say wasting their time, but like somebody like Chance Adams, who if you traded him at his peak, you could have got something way better than when you keep him for a couple of years and he ends up doing absolutely nothing. So
he got designated for assignment. Yeah. I didn't even get anything for him.
My thing with Cashman doing that is like, hey, diamond in the rough, you're not giving up a lot for him. Screw it. Go for it. My issue with Cashman has become when he's doing it, not with guys who you question their talent, but guys who you question if they can stay healthy. I think that's where he needs to draw the line now and say, okay, I can't make Paxton deals anymore like that, because I need guys who can stay on the field. And okay, maybe it's a diamond in the rough like a Luke Voit, that's fine. Maybe we can get the most out of him, that's fine. But no more with, you know, maybe he'll stay healthy for us and he'll be great for us, because he won't.
That was one of the biggest knocks with Paxton. It was, he can be great, but when he's healthy.
Right.
And that was always the caveat, when he's healthy. And it's same old story ever since he got traded to the Yankees.
The Yankees cannot make deals like that going forward. You can't be like, well, he's an ace if he's healthy, or he's the prototypical number two behind Cole if he's healthy, or this guy's a great center fielder if he's healthy. No, you just got to eliminate, because really – the Yankees have enough of those guys on this team. You're not going to get rid of Giancarlo Stanton. John, let's bring this up right now. John Heyman reported the other day that Giancarlo Stanton's not opting out of his contract, which, I mean, is the most obvious thing ever. But
great,
I mean,
reporting.
How do you feel about that?
Great reporting.
How do we feel about that?
My thing, I remember writing Cheap Plug on Bronx to Bushville back when they first traded for him. The best case scenario would be him opting out, because that means he had a monster three seasons. They probably won a World Series.
Stayed healthy.
Got rid of the contract. That was like best case scenario. But I mean, realistically, that was a 99% chance of happening.
The guy's played six games in 2 years. He can't stay healthy more than 5 days. And outside of his first season here, where he really carried this offense, and I give him all the credit in the world for that, he hasn't done enough over the last 2 years to follow that up and give any value to himself after coming off a year where teams lost an incredible amount of money and revenue and aren't going to be dishing out the contract that he has right now. I mean, it would be the dumbest thing in the entire world for him to even think about opting out of the contract he has right now.
No, of course. And my biggest sorry, Christian, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dan.
My biggest gripe just then too was, I mean, I would say Judge is, it's a cheap comparison to say they're similar, because I feel like you could dig deeper and see that I would think that Judge is a better offensive player, just the way he takes pitches and the way, you know, he puts together better at bats. But the fact that they decided to instead possibly spend on a Bryce Harper and instead said, let's go Giancarlo, where they profile the same. And Christian, like you said before, and Chris, you too, that it's crazy how we can't say that they could bat back to back, because if they're both off, it's six pitches between the two of them and swings and misses. Like, it's crazy. But that was a conservative move, but compared to signing a Bryce Harper to a 13-year deal, they went the conservative route and said, we could get Stanton on the cheap and you know, get him for 10 years or however long he was going to have. And I don't know. I didn't like the move from day one, unless that dream scenario, like I mentioned before, happened, which – obviously didn't, so
sure.
Definitely hasn't worked out.
I mean, they still have him for another 7 years, and the team holds the option
towards the end.
Yeah, I'm trying to read here.
Yeah, I mean,
the Yankees have an option on him in 2028, but he's here for another 7 years.
Yeah, it's a lifetime away.
I mean, are we expecting big things from Giancarlo Stanton? I mean,
of course. You have to.
Or is he just going to be a fucking waste?
No, no. You said it, and you said it perfectly. Giancarlo Stanton has to be that guy. I mean, he has to be that guy this year for himself and for this organization and for the fans. He has to be the guy in the postseason. He's going to be the guy who keeps this offense alive this year. And if he can't be, if he's going to be the guy who goes up there and swings at outside pitches and rolls over on them or strikes out, then forget it. You can pack up and go home.
Yeah, and then you're going to have to, you know, watch that movie again for another 7 years.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think I've given up on him staying healthy, but, you know, just don't be a waste when you're on the field.
Nah, he's my guy this postseason. He's going to give it to you.
Give me one great postseason run.
Yeah,
That's all it takes with the Yankees.
Absolutely. And I think this year is the year you're going to get it.
All right. So a couple things before we wrap up here. And this is my fault for neglecting this. And, you know, maybe this is a good time to do it now that Dan's here. But, you know, Aaron Boone a few weeks ago came out and said when they announced the postseason schedule that they did not know heading into the trade deadline that there would be no off days until the World Series in any of these series.
Yeah.
Does that, you know, do you think the Yankees would have been more aggressive at the trade deadline, you know, maybe trying to get another starting pitcher in here, maybe another relief pitcher, anything, had they have not had that information in front of them on all, you know, heading into August 31st?
I mean, it is crazy to me that they didn't know that before the trade deadline. That's just wild. It seems like malpractice just for the sport. But again, what we were talking about before with Cashman, I mean, he's not making deals unless it's at his price. And it's already public knowledge at this point that they had, he mentioned, I forget if it was on WFAN, ESPN, whatever, he was on a radio show and said they had three deals ready to go that for one reason or another back, like, didn't happen. So I want to say, I mean, maybe he would have been a little more aggressive. Maybe would have done like going back to 2017, like a Jaime Garcia type deal where just somebody coming in supplant here and there. But they also have those guys on the roster. I don't know. My gut says no, especially because if they had deals lined up and they fell through, I mean, what much more could they have done, especially if it was three trades? So I don't know.
I just feel like Rob Manfred's an idiot.
Yes.
We all agree on that one.
Yeah. So this wasn't this wasn't an internal issue where like Hal forgot to hand over the note to Cashman. Like he was like, ooh, boss, sorry, forgot to tell you. This was just Manfred being like, you know what, guys, forgot to slip this in here. You're not going to have any off days.
They had not locked down that there would be a postseason bubble at this point either.
No.
Yeah. When was the deadline? What was the actual date?
August 31st.
Okay, so you had Paxton hurt at that point. He had made his last start. So, I mean, I'm sorry, it's just not an excuse to me. If you're going to make a move, you make the move, and if you're not, you're not. To me, knowing that, having that knowledge at that point shouldn't make any difference. If you need a guy at that point, you need a guy.
Yeah. But with off days, we've seen the Yankees win the World Series with three starters. Now there's no off days. You have to pitch. You know, you're going to have to pitch five guys most likely in the division series.
But Christian, who's your third starter at this point? I mean, regardless, who's your third starter? Jay Happ?
It doesn't. Yeah, but then now, let's say the Yankees get past the wild card round. You can go to Gerrit Cole again. You probably can't go to Gerrit Cole again.
All I'm saying is you don't have a solid three guys to begin with, especially at that time. Happ turned it around over his last handful of starts, but at that point, you're telling me that you're okay with having Jay Happ as your third starter in a postseason series just because you have off days? I mean, at that point, if you're going to make a move, you make the move regardless.
No, I don't want... Nobody's okay with Jay Happ.
Well, that's the argument you're making in so many words. Or that the Yankees made.
Jay Happ. I can't believe that the Yankees season could be on the line on Thursday with Jay Happ on the mound.
That is wild. That is 2020 in a nutshell.
So, speaking of 2020... is this a legitimate, whoever wins the World Series this year, is this a legitimate World Series?
We had this talk, Dan, behind 100%. The scenes.
I see, this is my thing. I told Chris this. I said, called my buddies saying, oh, it'll be a waste. First off, there's still a season. There's still a championship to be won. Why not be the team to win? Like, well, I don't understand how people could say it's not legitimate when there's a title on the line. Even if it is, I'd rather, if I'm an owner, a coach, a player, I'd rather be the team that has the illegitimate championship than no championship at all this year.
Sure.
That's my line of thinking. I've been like that since day one for all these sports. We see football, basketball. I think they're all legitimate. I mean, think of baseball. They started up for so long, all that preparation for spring training, they got delayed so long. Matt, that's hard to do where you're ramping everything up, shut it all down, ramp up again. I mean, it's tough to overcome. I understand the expanded playoffs and that could lead to a little more of a crapshoot, but I think that there's no – all right, I could see where people are like, it's not legitimately 28 championships. Like for Yankee fans who love the lore of the history of the organization.
And who can never be satisfied.
But for this to be one year where there's a championship on the line, if there's a championship, might as well go win it. That's my thought.
For me, out of all the things Manfred has done terribly, his worst decision was changing the postseason format for this season. Because for me, I had already gone all in and said, you know what, I got to put my bullshit aside. The season's a season. If you make it to the postseason, it's the same. It's the same, you know, journey anyway. And then he messed with the playoffs. And I'm not saying it makes it illegitimate to me. To me, you either are all in or you're out. Because you can't say it's illegitimate if the Marlins win, but then if the Yankees win, it's fine. You have to be all in or all out at this point. But I think that's where he made his biggest mistake. And I know why he did it, and it makes sense. But I think he ruined the fact that that was the one thing we can take that had normalcy of a shortened season, was that the postseason was the postseason at that point. And now it's, you know, a bracket with eight teams from each league.
I wonder how the Yankees would have handled this season if there was an expanded postseason.
It would have been different.
I wonder that, did they just settle into complacency because after 16-6, they pretty much knew they were getting to the postseason?
That's tough to say, because with a team that wins as much at home and has a completely different outlook playing on the road, you want to get those first three games at home. But
they really didn't push for it.
Yeah, no, I mean, they just felt that they were too far from that. I think it was too little, too late.
They were a game out when they started losing. I mean, they could have easily done this. It seemed like once they got to Buffalo, they pulled the foot off the pedal.
Yeah. But this comes back to what we were talking about way earlier. What you were saying, Christian, it's like, I don't know why they clearly took their foot off the pedal, as you said. Why didn't they tinker with some different things lineup-wise? Like you said, Hicks trying to go, like things like that. That was my thing with it. It's like they did take their foot off the pedal, but they didn't really try anything.
They did the same thing every day.
What's that?
They kept doing the same thing every day instead of really trying to make something work.
The Marlins, you don't want to do too many drastic things with a few games left, but why not at this point?
The Marlins were a fun, scrappy team, but there's no way in hell they should have came in here and completely shut the Yankees down for basically 2.5 games.
Nah.
The Yankees exploded in one inning, and that's how they won Saturday's game. But, you know, to basically be shut down by the Marlins, come on. That's just showed at home, just showed a complete lack of interest that the Yankees had in playing those games, in my opinion.
A couple years ago, we were at the regular season games when the Yankees were going through a rough stretch in 2018. And everyone went to Boone fired within 25 games of the season. You remember this? And the Marlins came to town and the Yankees got swept, I think. I mean, it was just it was their rock bottom for that season. And then after that, they seemed to turn it around.
It was a miserably cold day that day.
Yes.
And I think that was Andujar's first major league home run he hit.
Yeah.
But as Dan was saying, like, people are calling this an illegitimate title. You know, it won't be really 28 rings, but guarantee you, people are saying that if the Yankees win, are going to be the same people, you know, having aneurysms and strokes, typing on their Twitter machine that Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman need to be fired if the Yankees don't win the World Series this year.
Which is something you said, for sure. But you changed your tune and said that because of the shortened season, you can't judge them. But in the same breath, you said that this season had to be looked at as the same as every other. So you kind of contradicted yourself.
Yeah, I just don't know that the Yankees are going to make rash decisions like changing the manager based off of this
season.
No,
you can't. It would be stupid. I mean, it would be.
He's up after this year, though, right? His contract was only 3 years.
Somebody said he's got an option. That's the weirdest thing, that we've never heard anything about his contract this year, about him being a lame duck manager. I've heard that he had an option. It was the only thing that I heard about it.
Hmm.
But I don't know, man. Like, yeah, I did. After the, you know, coming into the season, I said the Yankees don't win. You know, you got to make some changes. But then COVID happened and we had 60 games. And I think you do have to look at things a little bit differently. You know, Dan, we'll wrap up with this. You know, he just didn't look like the same guy this year until, when did he get thrown out of the game? Friday night?
Yeah.
He just didn't look like the same guy this year. Something was missing.
I don't know what it is. I like Boone a lot, but I think I like him as the ESPN, you know, booth guy where he, you know, he's a great speaker. He's always trying to, you know, prop the team up in that regard. But I don't know, man. But again, at the same time, while I'm saying that, that's what the Yankees want. They want that figurehead. That's really what that's why he got hired. I mean, it's on record that if the Yankees won the World Series, Joe Girardi still would have been like, oh, after 2017.
Yeah, I mean.
So this is very obviously what they wanted. I would say that because it's like, could you even judge him on decisions that he's making and doing? Because is he really making those decisions? I don't know. I really, that's always the rumor, right? But I truly don't know if he's doing it or not. And
so if,
go ahead.
If they don't win, let's say they don't win this year and Cashman's like, you're gone, get out. Who's going to come? Buck Showalter's not walking through the door. It's going to be Aaron Boone Jr.
Yeah, it would be someone just like him, I would think. Aaron Boone's not going anywhere, though. He's not going anywhere.
I don't think so. I don't – like I said, unless they get, like, completely embarrassed in these two games, I just
– they would have had to miss the postseason for that to be even an option.
And I don't even know if they would have done it at that
point. Right. They probably wouldn't have. But that would have – that, at the very least, is what would have had to have happened.
All right, so I think, you know, we looked at it from the Yankee perspective. It's going to come down to this. You know, no disrespect to the Indians. Shane Bieber's great. Carlos Carrasco's great. They're going to have three really good starters to throw at the Yankees. But if the Yankees play to their capabilities, they're going to win the series.
Absolutely.
The Indians are not a better team than the Yankees. The Yankees are going to have to Shane Bieber can go out there and out-duel Gerrit Cole. It can happen. Like, I don't think anybody thinks that's out of the realm of possibility. But even if that does happen in games two and three, the Yankees are going to have to do things to lose those games, in my opinion. So here we are. We'll go around the room. We'll start with Ryan. You know, we wake up Friday morning. What are we looking at? Are we looking at games Monday, or are we doing the Yankee fan therapy session?
No, Yankees are going to win this series, I'd say, in two games. You look at Shane Bieber. He had a great, great 2020 season, the runaway Cy Young candidate. But you look at his 2019 season in the one game he pitched against the Yankees. He only went an inning and two-thirds, allowed five earned runs. Clint Frazier was a piece in that game. Luke Voit was a piece in that game. Those guys will be playing tonight or tomorrow night, whenever you're listening. And so I think the Yankees take care of business. I'm going with Gerrit Cole and the New York Yankees to take game one and Masahiro Tanaka to piggyback and sweep this series in two.
All right, Dan, what do you say?
I mean, my gut's saying Yankees in three, and I'm going to stick with that. But the thing that scares me is the streakiness of this team and that they've been so hot and so cold, and it's just hard to – imagine what team is going to show up. And I think that they have enough talent that has experienced playoffs. And I know it's different with no fans, and I think that plays a big factor, especially the postseason. But I think they have enough players who've had this time where they've been able to experience big games. Pretty much everybody on this roster has had a big hit or pitched a big pitch at some point in the playoffs. And that's a big factor, and I understand the streaky. That's my biggest concern, but in the end, I'll go with the experience, and I'm going to take Yankees in three.
Chris?
I got to piggyback off Dan there and just say the overall confidence and swag of this team going into the postseason is what's ultimately going to take them over the top. But I'll say this, man. If they're going to win it, it's got to be in two. If you get to that third game, I don't know if I feel as confident. I'm not saying they can't do it, of course. I mean, anything can happen in that game three. And I'm really talking shit about Jay Happ for some reason, assuming that he's going to be the guy. But he had a great year for him, for what we expected. And where he started to where he finished, he actually really turned the season around. So he deserves a little more credit than what I've been giving him this episode. But at the end of the day, you have to win with Gerrit Cole on the mound. Christian said it before. You're not going to get him again in this series. This is only a best of three. You got to win with Gerrit Cole on the mound. And if you can do that, you have all the confidence in the world that Masahiro Tanaka is going to do what he's done over the last handful of years in the postseason and shut this team down. The Indians do not scare me. They are a great team. They have good pitching. And Shane Bieber is going to win Cy Young, in my opinion. I am not putting them down, but if the Yankees lose, they have no excuse other than that they didn't show up because they are the better team.
3.47 ERA for Jay Happ this year.
Phenomenal.
I know it was only, what, 9 starts, but...
It's still phenomenal.
What would you have set the over-under on Jay Happ's season-ending ERA this year?
6.5.
No, I wouldn't have gone. I would probably set it at like 4.7.
Can I say something, though? The 3.47 is actually more impressive to me in only 9 starts because the team needed him. If Jay Happ did end up with a 6.7 ERA, forget it. They probably wouldn't even have made the postseason. I mean,
and that he blew for like the first half of the year, too.
Well, yeah, but he really found himself, and at the same time, Gerrit Cole showed up as the Gerrit Cole we know, and at the same time, we got to see a guy like Davey Garcia show up and pitch some really good games. So, to me, it's still the Yankees series to lose, for sure.
I tell you what, I don't trust Jay Happ at all. He is the prototypical cheating girlfriend. Every time that you take her back, things are good for a couple weeks,
true.
And then she's slurping on some guy behind a 7-Eleven.
That's okay? True,
and that's what happens Slurpee. With Jay Happ, okay?
Especially on free Slurpee day.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, given.
You know,
I'm wrong with that.
Hey, gotta do what you gotta do.
And then just, you know, that's Jay Happ for you. But I gotta give the guy a lot of credit, man. He backed up his talk. He said, you know. You know, realistically, the Yankees were fucking around with him because he sucked, not because of his contract. But he went out there and said, I should have the ball in my hand every 5 days. And, you know, except for the Met game where he blew the 4-0 lead, since he said that, he proved to be a guy that should have the ball in his hand every 5 days. So I got to give him credit for that.
Is there any chance we get Davey Garcia game 3 starting? Or no, it's definitely Happ, right?
Oh, dude,
If Davey Garcia was lights out the other day,
yeah,
and went deep into the game, he was lights out like he was a couple starts ago. You'd really, I mean, you'd have to consider it for sure.
Because probably 2 starts ago, I tweeted, I was like, he's definitely the game. He has game 3 starts. Gotta be.
Yeah,
you're right. I forgot that last game, man. I don't know. It's interesting, though. Curious.
They both gave up 3 runs in their last start this week.
Yeah,
this
that's why I'm saying Davey Garcia had to be lights out for him to overtake Happ for me, because Happ was just too good.
I think it was Flaherty that said this in the post game in one of these games. He said he would start Garcia, I believe he said, because of the penchant for Happ to blow up faster than Garcia would blow up in a game.
I actually like that, and that's my biggest thing on Garcia. As good as his stuff is, I don't always, you know, analyze a guy on his stuff as much as I do his demeanor on the mound. And Davey Garcia, that's why I know Davey Garcia is going to be a successful pitcher. The dude's 5'9", sitting in the center of a baseball diamond, and nothing rattles him. And I actually, that's his best feature, I think. And that's actually a great point.
Here's the one thing that scares me before I give my prediction. What was his worst start of the year?
Wasn't it against the Orioles?
No, it was against the Red Sox. And remember how much pressure he put on himself to pitch on the mound at Fenway Park because Pedro Martinez is his idol. That scares me a little bit. About a postseason start for him. Not saying that he can't do it. I'm just saying at his age that he put that much pressure on himself to pitch in an empty Fenway Park because that's where his idol pitched. You know, the Yankee season could be on the line. I'm just, you know, it does scare me a little bit. But here's my prediction. Whoever wins game 1 is going to win the series. I don't think either one of these teams is going to rebound from losing the game with their ace on the mound. That's my prediction.
No, you have to give us a prediction of who's going to win game 1.
That's my prediction. That no. Whoever's ace win, you know,
whoever wins 2 games will win the series. Give us a team.
Why don't you shut up? Why don't you go drown yourself?
Okay? That's great.
But Shane Bieber, you have the last name Bieber.
I have Bieber fever, but for Justin.
I have no respect for Biebers in this world.
I love Justin Bieber so much.
Okay. You can take your 1 point whatever ERA and go write a pop song with it.
Okay.
The Yankees went out there and they gave Gerrit Cole $324 million this offseason to win this game. I'm not saying that Gerrit Cole's entire Yankee career is going to be written. The book on his career is going to be written in this game. But this is why Gerrit Cole was brought to the Bronx. This is why Brian Cashman went out there and gave him a treasure chest with Yankee caps and scrapbooks and every other, and you know, custom and an iPad with I Heart Gerrit pictures on it. Okay. This is what Brian Cashman dusted off Andy Pettit for. Gerrit Cole pitch game one of a playoff series.
Gerrit Cole versus Justin Bieber here. Okay. All right. Game one.
Justin Bieber, decent pitcher.
Justin Bieber, okay, good pitcher.
This is not just any playoff series. This is a wild card round. This is unprecedented. Best of three, no travel. This is the game Gerrit Cole was born to pitch for the New York Yankees right now. This is the biggest game of his career. Fuck what he did in Houston. I don't give a shit, okay? You want to say he pitched game seven in the World Series or he pitched game six or whatever the hell he pitched? Doesn't matter. He's a Yankee now. This is the biggest game of his life. This is why he's an ace. He's going to go out there and prove it tomorrow night. So Gerrit Cole is going to go out there, in my opinion, and he's going to outduel Shane Bieber.
You just pumped me the fuck up. I'm ready to go now.
He's going to go out there and show everybody that wanted to run him out of town after two bad starts in a row while you were an absolute moron.
Yes.
That you wanted to run this guy out of town because he wasn't allowed to have a slump in the middle of the most fucked up season ever.
Ever.
He's going to go out there and prove. And what did I say? Gerrit Cole didn't hit his dominant run until start 12 in 2019. What start is this going to be tomorrow for him, Ryan?
12, motherfucker.
12. Is it going to be 12? Did he make 11 starts this year?
I thought that was the ultimate hype right there. I thought you knew it. I thought you had this scripted.
No, I have no idea.
I thought that was like the
was like the punchline for a stand-up comedian. I thought that's what you were hitting us with. He made
12 starts this year.
Yes. 12 starts.
So boom.
Okay. There we go.
Let's go.
The best wrestling promo I've seen in a while, Christian.
Okay. We've been saying it over and over again this year. It's Gerrit Cole, baby, and you're going to be screaming it.
Let's do it.
Outside on your front porch tomorrow night around 9:30 when Aaron Boone takes the ball from him when he gives the Yankees 7 2/3 of one run.
Let's
ball.
Fucking go. You just gave me goosebumps. Jose Ramirez
and Francisco Lindor don't even know what the hell happened to him.
Let's fucking go.
99 on the corners.
I'm not sleeping tonight now.
This is what Gerrit Cole was brought here to do. You know, cash that check tomorrow night or tonight. Cash that check, Gerrit. Let's go. And then you know what? I know what? Tonight we get playoff Tanaka, and then we'll see you Monday night.
See ya.
Peace.
Dan, thanks for staying with us for 17 hours.
Good time. Went by quick,
Now Chris gets to talk about his balls.
I actually didn't even slip this in. First of all, if you're still listening, you're fucking out of your mind. But please leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Support for this episode of the MYYST podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Get 20% off and free shipping with code MYYST20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use promo code MYYST20. I promise your balls will thank you.
All right, so let's wrap this up here. You know, game one, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Game two, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, both on ESPN.
Won't need and a game then, three.
Let's go.
Let's fucking go.
This has been the most fucked up year of our lives. This is what we've been waiting for, the Yankees to take the field in a postseason game. I'm not ready for it to end. I don't want the season to end. My birthday is Sunday. I don't want the season to end before my birthday.
Ugh.
No, you're not. You know what? Stay home Saturday. Do the world a favor.
No problem.
Ryan, you'll be Meg's date.
No problem.
Your kids will be calling Ryan Daddy.
Uncle Daddy.
Uncle Daddy.
Jesus Christ, guys.
All right, Dan, thank you very much for joining us. Follow us on Twitter at Stack. Dan, you want to plug anything? You want to drop your Twitter before we let you go here?
Nah, just follow me, Dan J. Federico, on Twitter. Always tweeting out, you know, a bunch of random stuff during games. Still writing at Bronx and Bushville. That's where you can find all my work. So, yeah, just check me out there. And always a pleasure being with you guys. Love it. Whether it's a second round preview or a morning podcast, I'm looking forward to being on the next one.
You're the man, Dan. Right, Dan. Thanks.
Dan, you are the man. Thank you very much. Follow us on Twitter at NYY Sports Talk. Ryan, drop your handle.
At StatGuyRy underscore NYYST.
At Chris Jr. underscore MYST.
At Christian underscore NYYST. Thank you for listening to episode 195 of the NYY Sports Talk podcast. Ryan, I want to hear it. I want to hear it loud, bro. Wake up the
not
neighbors.
Not too loud. No, my kids
I'm not
going to
do it loud, but I'll just give a nice, hard, go Yanks.
Chris, say goodbye.